Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program. But we attempt to speak only those things that are from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, certainly feel free to contact us at the information given either by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. There are many ways to be considered great or to consider greatness. A person or a thing can be great in stature, like an elephant or a great blue whale. Or a person or a thing can be great in usefulness, like a watch or a doctor. But spiritual greatness surpasses them all. An elephant great in stature can be frightened by a little mouse, so we're told. A man great in stature can be mastered by a little habit, such as drugs or alcohol. A church that's great in number can be destroyed by a little sin, like what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. A great and a good name can be murdered by the wagging of a loose tongue. James talks about the tongue in James the 3rd chapter. Great and good ends can be nullified by evil, unauthorized means. Jesus said there would be those in Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23 that would come to him and say, "Lord, have we not cast out demons in your name and prophesied in your name and done many wonderful works in your name?" And yet he will say to them, "Depart, I never knew you, you that work iniquity." So the end does not justify the means. And great ambitions and intentions can be forfeited by a little procrastination, by a little bit of neglect. In Proverbs 6, in verse 6 it says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall your poverty come upon you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." We're told that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. When it comes to things of great value, the soul is of the greatest value. It is because it's from God. We read about that in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27, and also in Genesis 2, and verse 7. This soul abides forever. Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." And the right evaluation should be placed upon the soul. In Matthew 16, it's in verse 24 that we read, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. For what is a man profited, if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Truly, the soul is of the greatest value. And sin is the greatest curse in time or eternity. It costs one half of the national income to combat it in time of peace, and even more in the time of war. Sin causes crime, war, and all other evils. Sin causes death, both temporal and spiritual. It caused the death of Christ. In James 1, verse 15, "But when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." In Romans chapter 6, and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we see in Psalms 55, verse 23, but thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. And sin is a reproach. It is a curse to any people. Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. In Psalms 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all of the nations that forget God. So truly, sin is the greatest curse in time or eternity. But then, love is the greatest principle in salvation of mankind. God loves mankind. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. In 1 John 3 and verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. A man must love God and his neighbor. In the book of 1 John, notice in chapter 3, as we begin reading in verse 13, do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren, and he who does not love his brother abides in death. So man must love his brother, his neighbor. Man must not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. For it's in 1 John, the second chapter, that we read these words in verse 15 beginning. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he that does the will of God abides forever. You know, as pure water can be forced out of a glass by adding dirt, so can our love be forced out by the heart of an evil. You know, this is also true in the opposite direction. Pure water will wash out dirt, and love will do away with the evil of our hearts. But two, the blood of Christ, that is the greatest remedy against sin. There is power in the blood, as that song says. The blood, we know, of bulls and goats could not take away sin. Hebrews 10, verse 4. But the blood of Christ can. In 1 John 1 and verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There is life in the blood, and it is not to be eaten, as we find a command in Genesis 9 and verse 4, but also in Acts 15 and verse 29. You see, blood was what was placed upon the doorposts and lintels of the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt. And this saved them from death that we read about in Exodus 12, when God brought that last plague upon the land of Egypt. And God made the statement in verse 13 of Exodus 12, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. But to us, the blood of Christ was shed upon the cross, that we might be saved from spiritual death. And so when God sees the blood of Christ applied to our lives through obedience to his word, he will pass over us as well. But then also, the gospel of Christ is the greatest power to save. This is the gospel in purpose, in promise, in prophecy, in preparation, and in all of its perfection. Romans 1 and verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You see, there is a great contrast between the gospel of Christ and the law of Moses. We don't have time to read it, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we read about this contrast between the gospel, the law of Christ, and the law of Moses in those first 11 verses of 2 Corinthians 3. The gospel applies the remedy of the blood to the soul to remove the sin by the power of God's love. We know in Romans chapter 6 that we're told in verse 1 that as we obey the gospel, our obedience to the gospel parallels Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. In verse 1 of Romans 6, what should we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So we see then that our sins being forgiven takes upon the same form, parallel, of Jesus. Jesus died, he was buried, and he was raised. We are dead in sin. We are buried with Christ in baptism, where we contact the blood that he shedded upon the cross. And we too, when we come out of that watery grave of baptism, we arise to walk in the newness of life. And that's why later in Romans chapter 6, that we read in verse 16, he said, "Do you not know that with whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin, leading to death, or of obedience, leading to righteousness?" But look at verse 17. "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." You see, that form of doctrine is what we read there back up in verses 3 and 4. That parallel of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection also coincides with our being dead in sin, being buried with him in baptism, being raised to walk in the newness of life. That form is what we need to obey. So the gospel of Christ is that great power to save. And two, the church is the greatest and the only institution through which man can be saved. It was in the eternal purpose of God in Ephesians 3, verses 8 through 11, and it is for the purpose of showing the great wisdom of God, the manifold, that many-sided wisdom of God. And it cost a great price. Acts 20 and verse 28, he purchased it with his own blood. It has the greatest head, and that head is Christ. Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23. And it is that which contains all of the saved. It is all of the saved on the earth. But that's what God did in Acts 2, verse 47. He added those that were saved to the church. And the Bible is the greatest book. It is the most widely known. It is the perfect guide to make man complete, as we know from 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17. And then there's that statement that David makes in Psalms 119. In verse 105, he says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And in verse 130, "The entrance of thy word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." The greatest privilege that we have is to become servants of Christ. To serve Christ is the greatest, yea, the only hope that we have. We see your time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's under then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock PM. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org. where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.